Amen? All right, so last week, Pastor preached about why do I sin? So this week, we're going to talk about sin some more, right? So the title of my message is Leftover Sin. So we're going to kind of go in the same flow that Pastor was going in last week. And last week, he basically talked about sin, and he explained that when we sin, sometimes we're so quick because we're so sorry that we have sinned, that we make laws for ourselves saying, God, I would never sin anymore. I would never go to that website no more, right? We're so quick to speak things and make laws for ourselves, and we never truly take the time to understand what sin is and why we actually sin. So I simply want to build on the foundation that Pastor laid last week. Because just like God has plans for me and you, sin also has plans for me and you, right? Sin is a person. Sin is a nature. Sin is just not a moment or something that we do. Sin actually has plans for us. But if we never take the time to stop and think, why do I keep on going in this cycle? We're going to keep on going in this cycle. Because sin is not magic. And I know that there's been times in my life where it almost feels like sin just magically appeared. You know, it just came. I was like, oh, I'm doing this again, right? But sin is not magic, right? Sin is a process. Sin is something that has a mindset. So this morning, we're going to look at how sin works. And my hope is that by the end of this, you'll see that God has given us not just the victory over sin, but the leftovers of sin as well. Amen? So turn with me to Genesis 16, verses 1 and 2. So 2 weeks ago, I began a new Bible plan. And the goal of the plan was to read the whole Bible in 6 months. And I didn't make it past day 4. But that's because I got stuck on Genesis 16, verses 1 and 2. So you guys probably know this story, right? It's the story of Abraham and how God called him to leave his family, his father, and his home, and to live by faith, right? So God said, hey, leave the natural. Leave all the things that you can see and live by faith. So God called him out, and God said, hey, go to this land. I'm going to show you this land, right? So this is what we call the journey of faith, right? This is what God does for you and I when we get saved. He calls us to not live by the flesh. Don't live by what you see, but live by faith. Go to this place. Come up higher to this place I'm going to show you. So that is the journey that Abraham went on. And Abraham had divine encounters. He heard the voice of God in ways that most of us have never heard the voice of God. Abraham saw things that most of us have never seen. And he knew that God was saying, leave your hometown and go to this other land I'm going to show you. But in Genesis 16, verses 1, Abraham and his wife do something that had me scratching my head. So in verse 1, it says, now, Sarai, Abraham's wife, bare him no children. And she had a handmaiden or a servant whose name was Hagar. And Sarah said to Abram, because the Lord has prevented me from bearing, please go into my female servant. Perhaps it may be that I have a child by her. And Abraham listened to the voice of his wife. So going through this verse over and over and over, I kept saying, how is it that Abraham could see the Lord, talk to the Lord, have all this divine wisdom and knowledge, and still listen to the voice of his wife on something that he knew he shouldn't have done? God told him, I will give you a seed. And yet he still listened to his wife. And I'm like, wait a minute. There has to be something more to this than just Abraham not being smart. And just thinking through this, I started to look at me. Because sometimes I know that I've sinned and I've said to myself, how did I get back here? How did I get to this place where I knew what God told me there, but now I'm back in the same place? Just like Abraham. I know God said go from here to there and that on the way he's gonna give me a seed. But somehow I'm in this place where I've listened to the wrong voice and I'm doing something I know I should not do. So once again, Abraham was called to live by faith. He was called to leave the land that he came from, his family, and his father's house. And the goal of this calling was not the promises of God that God said he would bless him with. See, sometimes when God tells us something, we think that the benefit of his voice is that thing. But the scripture says this, that the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ, right? So that means that all that we need is already in Christ. So when God says, hey, I'm going to bless you, the goal is not really the blessing. The goal is the faith that he wants to actually produce in you. So God wanted to produce faith in Abraham because Abraham is called what? The father of what? Of faith, right? And God wanted to have a people that were his by faith, not by works, not by law, not by anything that we can do. So Abraham was supposed to be the father of faith. But on this journey from where God had called him to go to, Abraham listened to the voice of his wife. And the part that I found funny is this, is that while the word of God, right, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So why the word of God that God spoke to Abraham is trying to produce faith in his life, something else was at work. Something else was at work in the life of Abraham. And this is the story of many Christians as well. So how did Abraham get to this point where he was willing to listen to the voice of his wife and sleep with the maid, even though he knew what God said? That was the question that just kept on ringing in my head. And one thing I love about the scriptures is that if you just sit and read it over and over and over, so the Holy Spirit will just begin to open it up and show you step by step how Abraham got to a place where he sinned against God by sleeping with the handmaiden. So let's take it back 10 years, right? So let's go back 10 years and let's look at Genesis 12. Genesis 12, verses 9 to 10. So 10 years ago, God called Abraham. And verse 9 says, as Abraham journeyed, going on still toward the south, now there was a famine in the land. And Abraham went down to Egypt to dwell there, for the famine was severe in the land. So after Abraham said yes to follow God, Abraham encounters a trial. And that trial was a famine in the land. And who knows that if you don't have food, that's a real trial, right? So Abraham didn't wake up and say, you know what, God, I'm going to sin against you today. Yes, you told me to go from point A to point B, but I just want to sin against you. No, Abraham had a real trial, something that he had to say, do I really choose to believe what God said, or do I want to find out how to fix this thing by myself? And most of us, when we sin against God, it's not because we wake up wanting to do wrong. We most times are going through a trial. We're going through some kind of test. And that test is meant to build our faith. But But because we are only human beings, because we only see in part and know in part, because we like to take things into our own hands, we try to help God. We try to step in like Abraham and help God. Because I can only imagine that going to Egypt when times got hard was something that everybody did. Because Egypt had what? The Nile. So even though there is a famine, you know that, well, yeah, God told me to go from point A to point B, but let me stop and get this part-time job that will take me away from coming to church and take me away from having, you know, time to spend with God, because I can't make ends meet unless I work more. But God is saying, spend more time with me. So we often try to help God. We often try to deviate from the plan that God has called us to walk in. And that is exactly what Abraham did right here. Because once again, we see in part and we know in part, and we think that God needs our help. We love to be creative. We love to find ways to put our fingerprint on what God is trying to do. But God is like, no, son, I got it. So verse 11 says, and when Abraham was about to enter into Egypt, he said to Sarah, his wife, I know indeed that you are a beautiful woman to look at. And when they see you, they will say, this is his wife, and they will kill me, but they will keep you alive. Now, say you are my sister, that it may be well with me on account of you, and I may live because of you. So it may be well with me for your sake. So God called Abraham, saying, leave your land, leave your father, leave everything that you can see, and live by faith, and I will bless you, and I will give you land, and I will give you everything that you need. But on the way, on the journey of faith, Abraham says, wait a minute, Sarah, let's deviate, because there's a famine. So let's help God out. And not only that, let's change from the source, which is God, to a resource, which is you. So we often do that. We often, when we try to help God out, what we're saying is, yeah, God, I know you got it, but let me help you out. Let me go from the actual source, which is God, and let me go to a resource, which is my family, my job, my friends, right? Things that I can see, touch, taste, and feel. And that's often the battle of faith there. Because most times when God says something, once again, he says it to build faith in us. If God says it, it's going to happen. It's not our job to try to figure out how to make it work. It's our job to have faith. Because without faith, it's impossible to please him. Right? So what he's trying to build in us is what pleases him. But we often are trying to chase and get close to the promises and the blessings, and God is saying, that's already finished. All the promises and blessings are complete in Christ. If you stay in Christ, they're going to be yours. But once you, you know, turn and look away from Christ, well, that's when you open your door to what we call sin. So we attempt to help God, and when we do, we shift from the source to a resource. We start shuffling pieces on the table that we have no business touching. It's almost like me promising my 5-year-old that, hey, daddy's gonna take you to the park at 5 p.m. And it's 4:55 on the clock. And she begins to think, well, daddy said 5 p.m., but it's 4:55 and he's not really ready. So let me try to find a way to get to the park by myself. Like, that's really what that looks like. When we, as limited human beings who have only lived 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80 years, try to tell an all-knowing God, well, I know you promised this, but let me figure it out on my own. That is what we often do. So as the story goes, Abraham and his wife, they go into Egypt. And Pharaoh, of course, sees his wife. And as the text says, his wife is beautiful. So Pharaoh says, hey, she's going to be my wife now. So Pharaoh takes her, and verse 16 says, and he treated Abraham well on, and he treated Abraham well for her sake. And he had sheep, oxen, male donkeys, and male and female servants, female donkeys and camels were given to Abraham. So Abraham's disobedience and lie was profitable. Did you catch that? Abraham's disobedience and lie was profitable because sin doesn't mind if you get wealthy. Sin doesn't mind if you prosper. See, look, the devil doesn't mind if you make money and you prosper and you're rich, as long as your soul is his at the end of the day. And we see here that the devil opened up doors for Abraham to gain prosperity, and the devil snuck something in Abraham's life that we wouldn't see play out until 10 years later. And of course, Genesis 12, verses 17 through 20, as the story goes, we see here that without the help of Abraham, God steps in and gives Pharaoh a dream. And in that dream, and the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarah, Abraham's wife. So without the help of Abraham, grace stepped in. Grace and mercy of God stepped in. And oftentimes, that's what our life looks like. We sin. We mess up. I mean, just think about it. How many times have you sinned and you had no clue that God was just covering you? I mean, grace was just covering you. And you know that someone else who did that same sin, it didn't end well. But somehow, you made it. Somehow, y'all were at the same place doing the same thing. And they didn't make it, but you made it. So grace covered them. Grace saved them. And Abraham and Sarah left. Isaiah 48 verse 11 says this, and I will rescue you for my sake. Yes, for my own sake. I will not let my reputation be tarnished. And I will not share my glory with idols. So God is serious about what he says. If he says, I'm going to bless you, best believe he's going to bless you. But of course, as we know this, right? When God says he's going to bless you, the devil can and will always try to plant something next to what God said he's going to do. So if God says, hey, I'm going to bless you with prosperity, well, the devil is going to come and try to find some way to plant his own plant next to it, right? So that both of them can grow. And when it's time for the harvest, well, who knows what's going to happen then. So grace intervened and saved Abraham while he was clueless. Jaden, can you show the graphic, please? So this is often how most people's journey of faith goes. We hear the word of God. We follow the word of God. We disobey the word of God, which is sin. And then we gain things while we're in sin. We gain fame. We gain money. We gain friendships. We gain things that we often don't think twice about until they come back. And of course, God's grace steps in and saves us. Because when we take time to truly think about sin, and in light of what Pastor preached last week on Romans 6 and 7, we begin to see that sin is not just the moment of when they went to Egypt. Sin is a nature. Sin is patient. As Genesis 4 says, sin is crouching at the door, waiting patiently for its time to strike. So Abraham went to Egypt and allowed the devil to bless him with a female servant, who at the time did not seem like a big deal. But even after God forgives Abraham, sin can have leftovers, ways that we think, trauma that we have, wounds that we carry. Well, this is just how my family does things. This is just how my dad was a drinker, so I drink too, right? Sin has leftovers and things that can stay there and be dormant till the next time sin wants to come back and check if somebody's home. And sometimes I believe that because we think or we know that we are under grace, we often just think that grace just wipes everything clean. And in some regard, yes, that is true. But if that truly was the whole truth, why would Jesus in the New Testament say, right, that the unclean spirit will always come back and check to see if the house is vacant or full with somebody else? So the goal here is not just being clean, but the goal is allowing Jesus to be Lord of our lives. So Abraham left Egypt, but something left Egypt with him. And 10 years later, Genesis 16, once again. Verse 2. And Sarah said to Abraham, "Because the Lord has prevented me from bearing, please go into my female servant. Perhaps I may obtain children by her." And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarah. So 10 years after he disobeyed God and went where he shouldn't have gone to, the sinful leftovers that left with him came back to the forefront of his life. And this question popped in my head as I was studying this is, where did Sarah learn to help God like that? Because if you just take a moment to truly read the text, Sarah says that God is the one who stopped her from giving birth. So let's help God. She learned it from her husband. He taught her through his sin that, hey, when times get hard, this family, we help God. When times get hard, we step in and do what God can't do. So she said, oh, well, since it worked for him, and since we got servants and blessings and all these good things, and it's been 10 years and there's not been any real big deal, let's do it once again, Abraham, because you taught me how to do it. So let's help God once again. And it's funny, but it's so true, because when you are called by God, which I believe every single person in this room is, if you are saved, people in your life are watching you. They learn from you, not by what you say, but sometimes how you sin. Like if you're at the job and everybody's doing something that they know they should not be doing, and then you go and join them, but you're still saying, I'm blessed, I'm this, I'm that. Somebody is watching that and saying, well, if Ike is able to sin with us and still say he's blessed and he's this, well, then I'm good too. So Sarah learned from her husband that, wait, we can help God, and God is fine with it, and he'll still bless us, and it's not a big deal, because we helped him 10 years ago, and we were still blessed. And so far, nothing bad has happened. So far. So sin is patient. Sin is in it for the long game. You know, sin is crouching at this door and it is waiting. It's waiting. Like, yeah, I have an anger problem, but it's not a big deal. Yeah, I get angry and sometimes black out. Not a big deal. Yeah, sometimes I foam at the mouth when I get, you know, not a big deal, right? But sin is waiting for that wrong. Hey, sin is waiting for that one day where the wrong person makes you mad and you just grab something and sin is patient. Sin likes to plant things. And if we're not careful to deal with the leftovers of sin, sin will have its day at some point. So Abraham and Sarah once again helped God, thinking that they were doing the right thing, thinking that, hey, God can still bless us if we cut corners. Because last time we cut corners, he blessed us. So let's do it again. Let's say we have 3 children on our taxes when we only have 2. Right? So once again, they cut corners and they thought that, hey, not a big deal. God is going to bless them. But something I've come to see while studying Romans 6 and 7 and just the nature of sin is that sin has one goal. And that goal is to produce life outside of the plans that God has for you. Because God has plans for us, and that's life. But sin has a version of life, which we call death. And sin simply is patient. It seems kind. It seems like, yeah, not a big deal. Just keep on doing that thing. Hey, 2 years, not a big deal. God's grace covers it up. 5 years, not a big deal, covers it up. 10 years, not a big deal, covers it up. But one day, as the scripture says, be sure your sin will find you out. Be sure your sin will have the last laugh. So I don't want to be all doom and gloom because, you know, sin is a serious thing. But the beauty of this all is that just like God made a way for Abraham to finally pass his test, because Abraham had 3 tests, right? Famine, his wife, and the third one is when God told him to sacrifice his own son. And the point of all 3 tests was just to see, will you have faith in me to provide for you? That is it. So in Genesis 22, verse 8, Abraham finally learned that lesson when his son said to him, Father, you have wood, we have fire, but we have no lamb. And he says this, my son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. So the two of them went together. So our victory over sin and the leftovers that sin leaves in our life starts exactly where Abraham finally passed his test. Just as God made a way for him, God has made a way for us as well in Christ Jesus. But not just that though, right? It's not just that God has made a way for us in Christ. It's the fact that we now have to allow him to be Lord. So not just the sacrifice, but the sacrifice must be Lord. Because that same door sin is crouched and knocking on, that's the same door that Jesus knocks. And he's saying, will you let me in? Will you actually let me in and be Lord? Will you actually let me come in and take control of this thing that you are going through? Because what Jesus wants to do when he comes in is the same thing that he told Abraham to do when Hagar gave birth, which is to cast out Hagar and her son. So we have to cast out those leftovers, the vain ways that we think, the trauma that we have, the resources that we have that aren't from God. We have to cast those things down because those things are what builds strongholds. Because we can be saved and truly love God, but keep on going through the same sin over and over and over again. Because I know in my life, once I figured this out, it took me time, but I saw that when it got close to my birthday, and I'm not going to tell y'all when, but when it got close to then, like, I would always tend to backslide. And I just didn't know why. Like, I'm okay, God, I know I love you, but like, you know, January through this month, I'm like on fire for you. But then as the year gets done, I just feel myself being like, eh, you know, I could sleep and not pray. Yeah, I mean, I read my Bible more than most people, so, you know, I'll just chill, right? And it's like, we sometimes don't see that sin is beginning to take one step, two step, three step, and it's getting bolder and louder in our lives. So we have to let Jesus come in and be Lord. We have to let him truly come in and start to show us those things that we must cast out. And sometimes we even have to cast out people. And I'm not saying that you should go home and say, all right, you know, you need to leave, but you have to be led by the Holy Spirit, because some people you have no business with. And I know that for my life as well. So today, what is your Egypt? What's that thing, that place that seems so small that you go for comfort when things aren't going well? That place that you like to click and watch when you are having a hard day? What is your Egypt? What is that thing that you visit when you simply need a break? What is your Hagar? What is that leftover sin in your life? That small thing that doesn't seem like it's a big deal. That it seems like God's grace is just like, hey, Ike, not a big deal. You prayed about it. I forgive you. That thing that is just patient and is waiting its turn to fully have his way with you. You know, I'll close on this. None of us truly, if we're saved, intentionally want to sin against God. But sometimes we can fall asleep spiritually. We can get lazy, which allows the devil to come in and sow tears next to what God is trying to build. And unless you know the difference, you can see somebody who is being blessed in the natural with goods and things and think that they know God and think that they're right with him. But God judges and sees unlike we do. So my question to you is, don't wait for 10 years to go by. Just deal with that thing now. Deal with your Egypt now. Cast that thing out now. Don't let that thing grow into something that will then produce life. Because that's exactly what happened with Abraham. He let that one trip to the wrong place give him a servant, which then turned into his wife, which then turned into a child, which then turned into a tribe, which then turned into a religion that we know and see now in this world. So just that one little sin birthed a whole tribe and race and a whole way of life that is totally different from the ways of our faith. So in closing, let's just take a moment. You go to God. You know what your Egypt is. You know what that thing is, what that small thing is. And I just want to pray with you and pray for you and just trust that God will deal with our hearts, deal with our minds as we simply yield to him. and say, Father, this thing, though it's small, you don't like it. And you've told me time and time, stop that thing. Get away from it. Don't do it again. And yet, because your grace has covered it, I seem to find ways to keep going back to it. So Heavenly Father, this morning, I simply ask that you not only forgive me, but you come in and be Lord once again. You come in and instruct me, guide me, tell me what things I need to cast out. Tell me what things I need to stop. Tell me what things I need to lay down. Because if I'm not led by you, I'm led by something else. So help me this morning. Help us this morning. Help those on the webcast this morning to see you rightly, to not think that their sin will not find them out, to not think that that anger, that pride, that lust, that small thing that nobody sees won't win if they don't deal with it. Father, we know that we have the victory in you because of your Son. We know that Christ has died once, and we know that as long as we plead the blood, and not just plead the blood, but that we let the blood truly soak us up and lead us and guide us in all truth, that we can have freedom from not just sin, but sin nature and all those things that come from that. So Heavenly Father, this morning we ask for your presence to go with us. We ask for wisdom. Wisdom, Lord, wisdom. 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 To not be so caught up in the promises, but to truly see that you are trying to produce faith in us. That is the goal. To make us pleasing to you. That is the goal. Help us not to skip the process. Help us to truly wait on you. To truly have faith in you. That if you've spoken it, that you will do it. That you are able. It's not by works. We can't help you. We can't speed you up. We can't slow you down. We can only say yes and trust you. Father, we love you and we honor you because you are good, because you love us, because you correct us, because we are sons, and that is what you do to sons. So, Father, help us this morning. Help us this morning, Lord, not to think that that sin will not find us out. Help us to lay it down. Amen. 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 Thank you, Jesus. All right. Well, at this moment, we're going to close with a word of prayer. But before we do so, if you haven't given, now is the time to do so. As you guys know, we need your support. We have several missions in Nigeria, Pakistan, and South Africa, and some other places as well. So we need your support. And last but not least, on August 3rd, we are having a Bring Your People to Church Sunday. So friends, family, strangers, bring them to church. We have cards out in the lobby for that. So please, please, please grab some. Invite those that you love, those that you might hate. Bring them out of church, please. Okay? Because they all need to hear the word of God. Amen? Amen. So real quick, if you just rise with me, I will close this up with a word of prayer and we will be dismissed. Most Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you because you have made a way. We thank you because though we were once sinners and enemies of the cross, you have called us, saved us, and made a way for us. Father, we are so thankful that you don't leave us to our own sin, but you died for us. We are so thankful, so thankful, so thankful, because we know who we are without you. But in you, Father, we have been made something better. We have been made in your very image. So we thank you this morning for this word. We thank you that the truth was spoken. Help us to have hearts that can practice what we've heard. Help us not to just be those that hear and go away the same, but help us to see you for who you are, knowing that you are patient, you are kind, and you are loving, but you are patient and kind and loving so that we can have time to repent. So help us this morning, Lord. Father, we love you, we thank you, and we honor you. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. You are dismissed.